I want to thank Brother Bailey for leading us so excellently in our singing on this afternoon. I know that my Redeemer lives. All of those that are trying to make heaven their home need to know that our Redeemer lives. And as the song says, ever prays for me. And he has an eternal life to give to those that are obedient to his will. I want to say good afternoon from the Highland Heights Church of Christ, for all those that are listening on this afternoon. I was sharing with Brother Brooks. We'll communicate today. We're excited just to follow up on the message from this morning. And I'm just thankful to God, and hopefully you are also, that the things that we share, both himself and myself, are coming from the Word of God, that you can read those things yourself and have confidence that those things that we're saying, book, chapter, and verse. And again, just thankful for him, thankful that the Lord allowed us to latch on to one another years ago, that we are able to serve this congregation that's in the Acres Home area. On this afternoon, we're still finishing up with our letter, second letter from Peter. Our subject title on this afternoon, as Peter said, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So Peter reminds the Christians here of his purpose of the letter that he had written. And so I want to share with those that are on the call that may not be Christians, may not be members of the Church of Christ, or you're searching for that truth. I want you to know that Jeremiah identified in his writing in Jeremiah 10:23, when he realized, when he said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." He knew when it comes to a spiritual walk, it was not in man to possess that. And so Jesus, when he wrote what some say is the Sermon on the Mount or the Mountain, Jesus identified in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 33, he prioritized for man what should be their spiritual focus when he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So he set man, there's a lot of things we can pursue in life, but when it comes to spirituality, seek first the kingdom of God, and that which man were to seek, Jesus, when Nicodemus met with him by night in John chapter 3 and verse is number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," and that's spiritually, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus pointed us to what we should be seeking, and then he identified how one finds it, he said, by being born again, and that birth being spiritual. And then we find when the church first started in Acts chapter 2, and the verse is number 47, the Bible says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So from that verse, we find several things. Number one, when you praise God, you do it with the fruit of your lips, Hebrews chapter 13, and you don't do it with instruments as man has concocted. We'll talk about some of what how man think, but in Hebrews 13 and the verses 15, the Bible says, "By him therefore let us offer," notice now, "the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Then it tells us how to do it. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And so that's how we praise God in the New Testament. We don't do it with instruments as others may do. That's incorrect worshiping. That's worshiping in vain. And so the Bible says that the Lord added to the church, and the church is none other than, we talked about this in our Wednesday night class, about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the same thing that Jesus said he was going to build in Matthew chapter 16. Turn there briefly. Matthew chapter 16. The same thing that Jesus proclaimed to build is also what he gave Peter the keys to. In Matthew 16 and 18, he told Peter, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, my church, it belongs to him. And then he told Peter, "And I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound on heaven, in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose on heaven." So Peter has instructions from God of what to allow into the kingdom. And Peter gave that sermon in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 36. Peter opened the door of faith for others to become Christians, become members of the Church of Christ. And so you need to know that if you're listening to the call, you're not a Christian. So good to hear from our new babe in Christ on this morning, praying for family members and others that he knows, that they were Brother Keys, I'm speaking of others that will come to the Lord as he has, will see the error in their ways and give up those ways and come to the Lord. We'll talk about that. So we're talking about that you stir the pure mind by way of remembrance. I want to say to all of us, a good study for the Christian will be to know the purpose of each book of the Bible. Peter does that in his second letter, but I want to share with us that knowing the purpose of the letter. One example you can find, and go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. John gives us the purpose of his writing the Gospel according to John. Notice in John chapter 20, and the verse is number 30. John said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Note what John said. "But these are written." Why did you write it, John? "That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." That was the purpose of John writing the book that he wrote. He wrote it that those might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. As I shared with Brother Brooks this morning on his Sunday morning, he said, "This Jesus," same thing John was talking about, "this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." So John wanted them to know, "This Jesus whom I'm writing to you about is Christ. This is the Christ. This is the one you ought to believe in." And so I want to show us how me and brothers, these messages and these sermons run together with one another. They're not set there together, and many of the thoughts are shared because we're simply sharing the thoughts of the apostles as given to them by the Holy Spirit. It was given to them, and we're simply the mailmen. We're simply delivering the mail, rightly dividing those things that are written in the Word of God that it may be beneficial first to ourselves, our families, and to all of you as you hear the word of God. So that's why John writes. So like I said, a good study. Read those letters. I talk about a holistic letter. Read the book of Ephesians and see if you can find out what was the purpose of that letter. You know, when Luke wrote to Theophilus in the gospel according to Luke, he was writing to Gentiles. What was the purpose of Luke's letter? And then when he wrote to the book of Acts, what was the purpose? So that would be a good study of a Christian. There are 66 books, good study, lifetime study, trying to find the purpose of those letters. And so for this afternoon, Peter actually identifies the purpose of his letter. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, this second epistle or letter, beloved, I now write unto you. Why did you write it, Peter? In both of them, which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. And so Peter was saying, I want to, the word stir up, I want to stimulate you to action. I want to arouse you. I want you to start living as a Christian. I want you to start serving as a Christian. I want you to start giving as a Christian. I want you to start singing as a Christian. I'm trying to stir you up. He said, your pure mind. And that pure mind, as we'll find in verse 2, the pure mind is that mind that is clear and open to those that Peter said in verse 2, that you may be mindful, aware of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Peter said, I'm trying to stir up that mind in you, that mind that's clear, and you're open to the word of God. If Brother Brooks here this morning, I thank him for regulating us on bringing back to our mind what's the role of the wife in the home. What's the role of the husband in the home? What's the role of members, preachers of the Lord's church? What is the role? Don't forget your role. Knowing what it is. And how do we identify? Those roles come from when I read that of the holy apostles, a holy prophets, and of the commandments that came by the apostles, And we find, for those, we may have babes in listening audience that want to edify you also, that when you look at the purpose of the Old Testament, talking about the purposes, notice in Romans chapter 15 and the verses number 4, it gives us the purpose. Paul did, reminded the Romans, the purpose of the Old Testament. Note what he said. He said, for whatsoever thing written aforetime or before were written for our learning. The Old Testament is for our learning. The New Testament is our law. The only time that Old Testament becomes law in the New Testament is when it is written in the New Testament. It becomes law for us. He said it was for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Well, Brother Spouse, do you have an example of an Old Testament writing that is law for us in the New Testament? I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you for asking. I heard you ask that question. In Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, just turn over a couple of chapters. You'll find that when Paul wrote to them, he said in verse number 8, Romans 13, he said, owe no man anything but to love one another. Highland Heights, when we love one another, that's the only thing we should know. We can never pay that debt fully because you just got to keep loving. He said, but he that loveth another has fulfilled the law for this. Now, note, now he's going to, for those that are students, he's going to begin sharing the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other, notice now, he said commandment. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, he was saying, when it comes to those things that are written in the Old Testament, they hinge on the fact you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, go back, for the sake of clarifying this, go back to Exodus chapter 20 in the Old Testament, second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. And you note that those things that Paul reminds him of in Exodus 20, 13 and following. 13, he said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. But you know now, one thing we find in that's not repeated in the New Testament, that's not law, that was law for them, in Exodus 20, in verse number 8, it said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That is not for us today. We worship the Lord on the first day. On the first day of the week, we worship God. The seventh day was a rest day for them. They couldn't do any work, and what it was for them, it was to remind them. Notice he says in verse 8, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We worship the Lord on the first day, the seventh day. We can't work on what then the seventh day for them was Saturday. So that's why you have to know the Old and New Testament, the Old Law, or the Old Testament versus the New Testament, and understand we live up under the New Testament. And when it comes to the Old Testament, it helps us to know the mind of God in the Old Testament, how God dealt with his people. But also what I'm saying, that when it comes to how to worship God, that's found only in the New Testament. Those that are not familiar with the Word of God, go back and use things such as what David used instruments. That's the individual that do not really understand the Bible. Yeah, you have to know the Bible. You have to know from that the Bible is divided. You have two testaments, but you have three dispensations. You have from Genesis chapter 1 to up to Exodus chapter 20 is what is referred to as the patriarchal. Let me give you some Bible on that. Patriarchal. Yeah. Turn your Bible to Hebrews, where you'll find that word. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 4, just giving some foundational teaching for those that are interested in how I divided the Word of God. Well, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 4, the Bible says, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his force. And patriarchs meaning the father, the head of the house, so he rules out. That's why we call it the patriarchal dispensation, because God spoke directly to the head of the house. And then the head of the house, Adam, Abraham, they would tell the family what God said. That was called a family type religion. That's the patriarchal dispensation. Then when Moses gave the Ten Commandments, that referred to as the Mosaic dispensation. That started in Exodus chapter 20 when Moses gave the Ten Commandments, and that command, that Mosaic law, went through the Gospels of Jesus Christ, because Christ lived and died up under the Mosaic law. Note in Matthew chapter 5 and the verses 17, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy it. I came but to fulfill it. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So Christ came to fulfill the law. So the gospel includes the Mosaic dispensation. But everything Jesus said, give me an example, Brother Stroud, in Matthew chapter 5, stay right there. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, Jesus said, he looked at the old law. He said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time." That's the old law. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I just read for you Exodus 20:14. But watch what happens in the new law once Christ died. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." So in the new law, you can commit adultery in your heart. That's Jesus. That's the new law. In the old law, they had to catch you in the act. But in the new will, everything that Christ said became law after his death. After his death. How do you know that, Brother Stroud? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The Bible says in verse 15, "And for this cause," he, talking about Christ, in verse 14, he said, "how much more shall the blood of Christ," that's why I hesitated, I wanted to see whether I wanted to include that verse, I think I need to, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." He said, "and for this cause," he, talking about Christ, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Notice what he says now. "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no weak strength at all while the testator lives." In other words, that's the same reason we in America now, we have wills that people have to write. The will don't go into effect until after a person dies. That comes from the Bible. Man got that from the Bible. Jesus, the Hebrew writer, was saying that the will of Christ didn't go into effect until after he died. So when people start saying, "Well, what about the thief on the cross?" The thief was while Christ lived. His will went into effect after he died. So no one can rightfully say, "Well, what about the thief on the cross? How was he saved?" Jesus hadn't died, but when he died, he gave his will of how man to be saved. That's why he told Nicodemus in John 3:3. He let him know, "Except you be born again, You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's Bible. And so the New Testament, the Christian dispensation, let me finish that. Patriarchal, Genesis chapter 1 up to Exodus 20. Mosaic dispensation, Exodus chapter 20 through the Gospels. Christianity didn't start to Acts chapter 2 when they were added unto them 3,000 souls that became Christian. You find that Acts 11:26. So nobody became a Christian. John the Baptist, that's why the Bible says, he that is little, least is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was never a Christian. Yeah. So you have to know the Bible. And we follow the things that are in the Bible. Those things that Peter, going back to Peter's letter, going back to those things that he said was spoken by before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. He said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So he said there were going to be scoffers during that time period that would say that, nothing hasn't changed. You know, ever since the Christianity started, it's still the same. I'm waiting for Christ. Where is he at? Where is he coming? Well, I want to say this. We have scoffers today. I just recently saw this. We have a scoffers group, however you pronounce it, may not be altogether correct. They call them mockers. You have a group like that today. That group is called the FFRF. The Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're scoffers. This is an American nonprofit organization which supports or advocates for atheists. For those that know, an atheist is a person who believes that God does not exist. And just recently I saw they showed a commercial from the 2019 Democratic presidential primary debate where Ron Reagan, the son of the late President Ronald Reagan, he made a mockery. He declared himself, he said, I am a lifelong atheist and not afraid of burning in hell. Yeah, so you have people out there that will make those type of statements while on this side of life. He made that statement. So you have those that make mockery of Christianity, just as they did back then. But Peter told those Christians back in 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant, just like today. Yeah, Brother Brooks talked about people lifestyles now. You know, we are living in an age now where you can't tell sometimes from a distance a man from a woman from a man, because there used to be a date. Yeah, I knew when I first obeyed the Lord, and I know my wife taught our girls, when you go to worship, it was customary that women wore dresses back then. Yeah, back then. Yeah, and that's how, and the eldership had some input in that. Yeah. But sometimes it's encouraging that when you see things going awry and going left, that you have to do those things as leadership, and thankful for those that pray for leadership, that we make decisions for the betterment of the congregation. and also that we uphold the will of God and what God says. And so Paul said, Peter said to them that, back to my text, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the water and in the water. So he was making reference to how God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7 through 10, when you get a chance to read that, how God then spoke the world into existence and separated the waters. He said, that's Genesis 1, 7 through 10. I'll read that quickly. Read it quickly. The Bible says, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And the Lord God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. So Peter now are reminding them of things that the holy prophet spoke about and wrote about. Then he said, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And so we find, say in Genesis chapter 7, you'll see in verse number 11, where Peter was referring to in Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days. And 40 nights, God opened up the heaven and overflowed the world, was washed away. Peter reminded them of what God had done. And so he tells them back in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So Peter reminding them that God, the same word that God used, are keeping the heaven and earth. And we know that because Paul talks about the fire in 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled with rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So them that know not God and them that obey the gospel, the Bible says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then as I move toward the close, Peter wanted them not to be ignorant. He said, but beloved, verse 8, 2 Peter 3, be not ignorant, or don't forget this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. And so, going back to the Thessalonian letter, Paul didn't want them to be ignorant either. When he said to them in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. I don't want you to be ignorant when it comes to people that have died. He said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Well, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, notice now he says sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul told them, he said, wherefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. When you have loved ones lost, the Bible says that they sleep in Jesus, that they died in Christ. Yeah, that's what Jesus knows, those that sleep in him and those that died in Christ. Yeah, we leave that to Jesus. But again, he says comfort one another with those words. And so I hope I have stirred up your pure mind by way of remembrance, going back, looking at scriptures that we have may have read in the past, back in Genesis, back in Exodus, reading back in those, going back, looking those times, understanding the Bible, understanding there are, again, two testaments, however, there are three ages of the Bible. We live in the Christian age, not in the Mosaic nor patriarchal age. And then when you want to look for, give scripture, when you talk about the Mosaic age, you find scripture I gave the Christian dispensation started in Acts chapter 2. You find in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, where they use the word Christian. Well, when you talk about the Mosaic age, Paul even shared with them about the Mosaic age when he said unto them in 1 Corinthians, I'm just sharing this, putting a little completeness to the lesson as I close. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Watch this here. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Moses was likened unto them, likened of Christ. They were baptized unto Moses. They went through dry land under the water. The waters congealed on both sides. And I say under, meaning they walked through dry land. But Moses was to them. Yeah. And so you find that. And the Bible said those are examples. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Just want to, those Bible scholars that want to, well, what can I find about Moses? You find it there also. So if you're on the call this afternoon, you're not a Christian. How does one become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, and a child of God? We find that in the Romans letter. And Paul in Romans chapter 6. Paul reminded them, brought to their memory, reminded them of what they had done. He said, what shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead, notice, to sin, live any longer therein? He said, know ye not that so many of us as were, reminding them, baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So one become a Christian, but once you hear that Christ died on the cross, that's the first sermon that Peter preached, Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, about how Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, never died again. That is the gospel. You must believe that gospel. That's what John, why he wrote the gospel according to John, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you believe it, then you've heard it, you believe it, you repent of your sin, and you turn to Christ, you make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the same thing that John wrote about, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then you make that confession, then we will water baptize you, as they did in Romans chapter 6, we'll water baptize you for the remission of your sin, and then the Lord, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the Church of Christ. If you desire to do such, get in touch with us, and we will do what the Lord wants us to do and make it happen. Thank you very much for your patience and listening to the Word of God on this afternoon that I tried to share. Thank you very much.